Reddick stays undefeated in 2026. That's our top story. Plus, who's off to a quick start and who's not? We'll tackle all of this coming up here on Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to the show. I'm joined by Kyle Petty and Alexis Erickson. On this show, we'll talk about, as we said in the tease, who's off to a quick start in 2026, who is faltering out of the gate. The Kyle Petty charity ride heads into year 30. We'll talk with KP about that. And, of course, green flag and black flag. All of that coming up on this edition of Fast Talk. First, let's go back in time and relive the last lap at Atlanta in the Echo Park 500.
Door to door, coming to the white flag. Carson Hocevar to the outside. Tyler Reddick being pushed by Chase Briscoe into one.
There's smoke behind it there as Reddick's down low. Hocevar up high. Reddick has actually got disposed of Hocevar, and Chase Briscoe's posing Reddick. And now we have the third place, Ross Chastain, fighting for the win.
It is down the back straightaway for the final time. Tyler Reddick will lead the field into turn three. Reddick with Briscoe behind him. Then Chastain, Tyler Reddick trying to go back to back.
Tyler Reddick will lead the field off of turn number four. Reddick will go back-to-back and win the Auto Trader 400 at Echo Park Speedway after winning the Daytona 500, taking Michael Jordan to victory lane for the second week in a row.
Auto Trader 400 win goes to Tyler Reddick. As Brad Gilley said there on the call, Michael Jordan once again the winning car owner. Let's hear from the winning driver in victory lane.
In your wildest dreams, could you imagine starting this season with two wins?
not after getting the damage, with 30 or 40 laps ago, whatever it was. But, yeah, just crazy. I hate it for Bubba. You know, we both did a lot of good things throughout the night, and he just, you know, just got hung there by Hocevar. So once that happened, I tried to do everything I could, and I was just really thankful that, again, just like at Daytona, I had a Toyota in the mirror and had Chase Briscoe to push that pretty much sealed the deal for us. So our car definitely wasn't very fast out front, but I swear I think it kind of helped me stay attached to the cars behind and just kept them from having a massive run. So we'll take it.
Alexis, a lot of unlikelies here. Unlikely that a guy that did not win a race last year has won the first two, and he won the race in a car that looks like maybe it had been a Bristol.
It's funny that you say that because, you know, when I think back to what happened in the Auto Trader 400, I'm not really surprised that a 2311 car won because they were pretty strong all day. If you go back and look at laps led and just where they were at on the racetrack. But when it got down to it, because Tyler had that damage that he had mentioned in that interview and his car, you know, was not completely whole as it had been for most of the race, I imagined it was going to be Bubba Wallace taking the checkered flag. Unfortunately for Bubba, I think he just made a move there at the end that just didn't work out for him. You know, you hear all these things about moves that are made on super speedways and some work out and some don't. And that one just didn't work out for Bubba. In Tyler's case, he had that other Toyota driver in Chase Briscoe there to kind of help him. And when all was said and done, he was the one, you know, taking the checkered flag and getting his second win in a row. So was I surprised the 2311 car won? No, but I was surprised it was Tyler and not Bubba.
Kyle, there's a saying in gymnastics, no matter how good your routine is, and I know your vast knowledge of gymnastics routine and double sow cows and all that it doesn't matter how good it is. If you don't stick the landing,
that's right.
Nobody cares. It almost felt that way at all three of the races this weekend at Echo Park Speedway. Didn't matter how well you raced, if you didn't stick that last lap like Tyler Reddick did, nobody remembers.
Yeah, nobody remembers. And that is, you know, this is funny. I think Gluck has that column or has that thing where was this a good race or a bad race? And it can be a so-so race, but if the last three laps are fantastic, it will garner 89%. So people just remember what they last saw. And that's the thing. We saw so many guys. We saw Austin Hill. We saw Bubba Wallace. We saw guys lead the race, control the race, dominate the race almost to that last mile and a half, 2.5 miles, and then they end up 7th, 8th, 9th on the grid, and we're talking about somebody totally different. I did a thing with Steve Letarte last night, and I'm going to say this. You talk about the 45 car of Tyler Reddick and how bad it was torn up. I said, I don't want to ever, ever hear a driver complain about aero again. Okay? Ever, ever. I don't want to hear the aero push. I don't want to hear I can't turn, I can't drive, I can't. Because we talk about the 19 of Chase Briscoe pushing him out there, but Chase Briscoe couldn't get back to him. You there was a separation in between going between those two cars of at least a car length going into turn three. And when they got to the middle, Tyler hooked the bottom and drove away without a right front fender. So it was fascinating to watch all the aero talk we hear all the time. And Steve had a great point. And I want to throw this out here for fans to pay attention to what I'm getting ready to say. Steve said the fender was torn off of it, but not the splitter, which tells me that the most important part of the car is the underbody, not the overbody. As long as you can keep that underbody on the ground and keep that splitter on the ground, that was an interesting glimpse into what teams look at.
Yeah, I mean, certainly when you think about how these cars, a lot of these cars looked at the end of that race, and you know, traditionally you think, well, yeah, if you don't have that fender or there's right, something on the body of the car, the air is not going to push, you know, correctly. It's not going to flow over the car correctly. But clearly, that was not the case for
Tyler
Reddick.
And I'm going to say something else to you, Doug. I'm with you. Okay, we just dated ourselves when we said it looked like it came from Bristol. They don't tear cars up at Bristol anymore. Only at Daytona, right, Atlanta, and Talladega. Those are the only places. So it looked like it came from a speedway, and that's exactly right. Because we always go back to Bristol when you used to tear stuff up.
You're exactly right. And I think I heard at one time during the Fox broadcast that 28 of the 38 cars that started the race
crazy
had damage and had been involved in a crash.
At Atlanta.
And that's, it didn't seem to bother anybody.
I know.
Well, you think about the second race at Echo Park Speedway last year when you had like half of the field taken out in the first. I mean, that's just the nature of that racetrack now. That's going to happen.
So let's talk about Echo Park Speedway, the artist formerly known as Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Yes.
Where, Alexis, I'll start with you. Where do you put this just on the scale of entertainment? Is it high? Is it low? What? Because people are all over the board with this.
For me, and I can only speak to what entertains me, I can't speak to what entertains anybody else, I think it's extremely high.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's because of that unknown factor. You talk about the fact that you had, you know, cars that dominated the race, and you were talking about all of these other cars, and then when it got to the end, you were talking about somebody differently because that driver, quote unquote, stuck the landing. You know, and I think that that unpredictability is what I like about it. Now, there are some, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. You have that, but then you also have situations where certain drivers, not of their doing, are taken out of the race and unfortunately don't have the opportunity to get the points that they need and things of that nature. But I find it to be extremely exciting, and I think it's only going to get better. I think maybe in the next 2 or 3 years, as it starts to wear some more, you're going to see even more of that unpredictability and entertainment factor.
Yeah, I will go on record, and I'm already on record. I'm not a big fan of pack racing. Okay, when they went to it at Daytona, when they went to it at Talladega, when you look at that, I'm not a huge fan. I'm more of Bill Elliott running 212 and unlapping himself two times and having something, doing something, not just the jockeying for position. But there's an art to it. There is an art to it, and these guys are artists when you watch them do it at Daytona and Talladega. So, but having said that, I am hugely entertained by Atlanta, hugely, because I look at it and I thought about it coming up the road. Daytona is a handling racetrack, whether it's February, Atlanta is a handling racetrack. We already know that. Talladega, put cinder blocks under it. You can go down there and just run wide open. It's like running a yard cart wide open. It just sticks no matter what. So if you're playing a video game and Talladega is level one, and Daytona moves to level 3, Atlanta moves to level 10 in a video game.
Right.
Because you're doing it on a mile and a half racetrack in just a small place where everything happens so much quicker and so much faster. And Bubba said it. Bubba Wallace said it pre-race. You are more mentally exhausted when you leave this place than any other racetrack we run, because you never know where all the other cars are at. And I think Kyle Larson proved that yesterday when he came from the wall down to the bottom and had no clue that Shane was there.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to Bubba preseason during the production days, and we asked him about Echo Park Speedway because it was one of the races on our schedule, and that's exactly what he said. He said, look, as far as, like, physicality is concerned, it's not the most physically draining race that we do, but it is above and beyond by far the most mentally draining race that we have on the schedule.
I realize you can't always tell by the metrics of a race, but it's a pretty good indicator when you had 57 lead changes among 14 different drivers.
And that's only at the stripe.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the only time that's counted.
That's only
so,
at start finish line.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
That's not all of the other stuff. I found myself wildly amused, and I put it out on Twitter. I don't want to hear anybody say, well, you should have seen them race back in the day.
Yeah.
And I have people, well, back in the day, so-and-so finished really close. And then, yes, you're right, back in the early 2000s, there were some good races there. But then you went through this 15-year drought of Kevin Harvick winning by 8 seconds, or insert driver's name, winning by 8 seconds. And it wasn't a good show, and it wasn't entertaining. And the biggest thing that my litmus test for yesterday was, it was cold. You were there, Kyle.
It was cold.
Cold, windy, no one left.
Yeah, no one left. And I'll say this. We, in the past, when people would say one race, if you want to send me to a race and make a fan out of me, what race am I going to send you to? What race would I go to? And I would always say Daytona or Bristol. Those two places, because Daytona for the spectacle, the 500 for the spectacle. Bristol because you're on top of the racing. Atlanta moved to the top of my list.
Sure.
It moved to the top of my list a couple of years ago. I tell people all the time, go to Echo Park Speedway. You're not going to believe what you're going to see with these cars at that speed.
I think, too, the thing that it has shown me is that it's okay to think outside of the box.
Oh, yeah.
We in this sport, we tend to go back to what tradition was and think about, you know, things of yesteryear, and that's great to a certain point, but we can also make changes and think outside the box and have the results to show that it was a good move. And I think when Marcus and the folks at Speedway Motorsports first brought this on, you had drivers, you had pundits, you had a lot of people saying this isn't going to work, and it clearly works.
I'm in favor of it. I'm glad they've done it. I think it has provided two must-see races to a series that desperately needed it. Coming up, we'll have our Toyota performance report and who got out of the blocks quick in the 2026 season.
What makes Toyota racing Toyota racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line. Right behind him, Chase Elliott getting pushed by teammate Alex Bowman.
Barry off of turn two. Nice and smooth with that red and white famed Wood Brother colors now down into turn number three. The advantage is 8 or 9 car lengths over Chase Briscoe. Fans jump to their feet to salute SVG on this beatdown Sunday here in Sonoma.
Here we go. Ross Chastain with a push from Carson Hocevar down. These cars are glued together. Up top, it's Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell. Who's going to pull out of line?
It's been crazy. It's been confusing. And out of the chaos, Christopher Bell has won the Bass Pro Shops night race.
William Byron has got one last chance to pass Ross Chastain. He's going to have to drive it into turn three harder than he has all night long.
Nobody has blocked drivers better than Kyle Larson today, but he could not get high enough to clear Denny Hamlin. He'll try it in two, barely squeezes ahead of Hamlin.
This is PRN.
Welcome back to the B Block here on Fast Talk. Doug Rice, Alexis Erickson, Kyle Petty. Let's give you our Toyota performance report. Second week in a row, Toyota in P1. Second week in a row for Tyler Reddick, winning at Echo Park Speedway. Chase Briscoe coming home in second. Eighth went to Bubba Wallace. He's off to a nice start. Denny Hamlin, 13th. Then it was John Hunter Nemechek back in 19th. 21st to C-Bell. Eric Jones, 24th. Riley Herbst, 33rd. And Ty Gibbs, an early exit, finished 37th. That is your Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. Kyle Petty, I know we're just two races in and the sample size is very small, and obviously Tyler Reddick is happy with it. He has won both of these events. Give me one or two other drivers besides Tyler Reddick that should be happy with the way that their 2026 season has gotten started.
Wow. I think there's a number of guys that should. I think Bubba should, obviously. So I'm just going to say 2311 and latch on to that. I think if I just look at the list that you have here and look at some of this stuff, I think Shane Van Gisbergen. Shane yesterday, being up in there, dicing it up, he has made a huge step. I know it's Speedway. I understand that. I know it's Speedway type racing. But at the same time, he wasn't even in the conversation. Here is the first oval that we've seen him, when they threw the checkered flag, he could see the checkered flag that he didn't win. You know what I mean? Yep. Most of the time, he's 20th, 25th, 18th, whatever it is. So this was a big thing for him. I look at him starting the year this way. I look at Noah Gragson, and nobody wants – here's a team that's just going out there and quietly getting it done. He's in the top 15 or 20 in points. That's a big day. There is a lot of great starts. You talked about Zane Smith. You were talking about him a minute ago. Here's a team probably not going to stay in the top 10. But when you start, it gives you confidence, man. When you roll in the garage area and you know you're up there with the big guys. So I think there's a lot of pluses. I look at Kyle Larson. I look at a lot of guys like that, and I think they've had a terrible start. They've had rotten starts.
We're going to get to the terrible.
We're going to get to that.
Okay. So, yeah. So, but I look at that and I think, okay, and I I'm going to say this. I think Ryan Preece is still riding high from Bowman Gray.
Yeah.
I think he's still carrying a lot of that momentum. So I think there's a number of teams. We want to focus on 2311 because they got the W's.
Well, yeah.
They got the W's. But there's so many other teams that have those small W's beside their name because they've made huge progress through the winter.
Alexis, there's some other names in the top 10 in early points.
So the first person that jumps out at me that has not already been mentioned yet is Daniel Suarez. You think about Daniel Suarez moving teams, you know, starting this season out at Spire, needing to have good runs to build his confidence, to build confidence in the team, to show them that they made the right decision, banking on him as their driver. And here he sits seventh in points. And I think that's a really good start for that team. And then you also have, Spire as a whole, because you have Carson Hocevar, who's sitting in the top four, in fourth right now. So I think, all of the people, certainly, that Kyle mentioned, Suarez and Hocevar. You also think about Chase Elliott, because you think about him sitting in P3, and you think about where the rest of his teammates are right now.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Carson Hocevar for a moment?
By yes, the way, we can.
I know they referred to him on Fox's Hurricane. Pretty sure Lee Diffie hung that name on him last year, but I don't know if it fits or not. I like it. Alexis, not a big fan of it, but whatever. He is the straw that stirs the drink. It was very predictable at the end of that race, Kyle, that he was going to be the guy that determined who won. Is piling on Carson Hocevar okay now? Where are we in that?
Okay, so this is Kyle talking. Okay, so let's put this.
Take we
this,
love this portion.
Yes,
of the show.
So let's take this. We piled on Joey Logano. We've piled on drivers in the past.
Chastain.
We piled on Dale Earnhardt Sr. If we go back to 79 and 80, and when he was winning championships. I mean, Richard Petty, David Pearson, Cale Yarborough, they piled on him. You know, because he was the new guy up front running. And we said it, I think we probably said it at this desk last year when he ran up front and everybody was whining about Hocevar last year and being as aggressive as he was. And I've watched him and thought about it. And I want to tell you something. He is, I thought about drivers that are like, that that he kind of is like. And I think, and I'm going to say this, and this is, people are going to hate me forever for this, but I'm going to say he has that unapologetic, I'm doing this, Earnhardt attitude. You know what I mean? You run me in the grass. What do you expect from me? You know what I mean? This is what I'm going to do. You cut me off. I don't feel bad about it. And he doesn't. He has that swagger a little bit, and some of the things he says and does and the way he carries himself. And I've said it, not as flamboyant as Richmond, because he said it yesterday, shake and bake. We're going to shake and bake. We're going to do it. And when they asked him about it, he said, I don't know. It's just something that was on TV. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, he had no clue why he said it, but he just threw it out there. But he has that desire and passion and won't settle for anything but a W that Kyle Busch has. So when you look at it, we didn't like those guys either. There was a time when you didn't like those guys. So I think it is just piling on to some degree. We saw what social media and all the media did to Ross Chastain a couple of years ago when he was getting it done, and then he dialed it back 16,000% and just disappeared for a while. I don't want that to happen to Carson Hocevar. I just don't. I like it that he's the guy. I like it. And there was a lot said when he stuffed it in there last night between those two cars, between the 20 car of Christopher Bell to the outside, and Bell ends up in the outside wall. And if you look at that, and I want you to go back and look at Daytona, Denny Hamlin did the same thing to Justin Allgaier. The door opened for that long. It was a mistake. It was a mistake that Carson made, a mistake that Denny made. But we're not blaming Denny, but we're blaming Carson. So I think it's a double. I think it's a double standard.
I think
that's me.
Along the same lines as what you're saying, it's kind of the natural evolution of the garage area. Somebody comes in, sparks people's attention. Oh, he's doing things differently. Yeah. He's acting differently. He's got this personality. The things he does on the racetrack. It's not unlike Joey Logano when he was sliced bread and he came in. Yep. And there's countless other drivers through the history of the sport that you can talk about. Chastain, all of those that you can talk about were in this same position at some point because they came in and they disrupted things.
Yeah.
In a way, he's come in and he has disrupted things. Whether or not time and maturity will change that, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. The one thing that I see the parallel with most of anything, I think, with him and like a Joey Logano is he just doesn't care what people think. Joey always has said, I'm not here to make friends.
That's right.
I don't need to make friends with people in the garage area. And I think Carson has that same mindset and mentality. And we'll have to see how the story unfolds and where it goes. But it's not something we haven't seen before.
No, you're right. And two other past champions we haven't mentioned. Brad Keselowski.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kyle Busch.
Yep.
They've all ruffled a lot of feathers in this business.
Yeah.
Kurt Busch.
Yeah.
So at some point in time, if you're going to be good, usually this is your career path.
Yeah. Listen, Brad Keselowski. Sorry. Hitting the desk again. Brad Keselowski, if we go back to Daytona, what was it, a couple of years ago, two or three years ago, three or four years ago, he wrecked a couple of cars in practice who cut him off, and he said, I have told these people I'm not putting up with it anymore. And if it's in practice, it's just going to be in practice. It's on you. It's not on me. I've said what I'm going to do, and I think that's what Carson has done. Carson has shown you what he's going to do. Now, woe be it unto you if you try to cut him off in that type situation, because you're going to be the guy that pays for it. He's not going to pay for it.
Shame on us, too. We didn't even mention Tony Stewart.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
All of these cats did this.
Yeah.
Hocevar will, he'll either survive and flourish or he won't, to be determined. Who's off to a poor start? We'll do that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. you want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
This is Christopher Bell, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Everything's faster in Atlanta.
These cars are glued together. Up top is Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell.
It's the Auto Trader 400 at Echo Park Speedway.
Side by side, Larson with an advantage. The five car up front, three wide behind him. Chastain got shuffled to the bottom. Kyle Larson out front. Contact with Carson Hocevar.
Christopher Bell right on Kyle Larson's door. Larson almost gets loose.
The Auto Trader 400 at Echo Park Speedway. Sunday, February 22nd, 2 o'clock Eastern on PRN. PRN is cranking up a new season of NASCAR action.
Jesse Love goes and cuts down in front of Josh Williams there as Austin Hill cannot get the outside line going.
It's the Bennett Transportation and Logistics 250 from Echo Park Speedway.
Big shove from Eric Almirola in the back. Side by side, the first three rows. They stay that way all four. Allgaier on the bottom. Nose to nose, door to door for the lead.
Saturday, February 21st at 4:30 Eastern on PRN.
Coming up on Fast Talk, we will get into our Green Flag Black Flag segment. Kyle Petty will talk about his 30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty Charity Ride. But before we do that, Alexis, we spent some time talking about people out of the box quickly. For every, is it yin, there's a yang?
Yeah, sure.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did I get that right? I know sometimes I say that wrong.
I don't know. David's looking at us like it's wrong.
No. Okay, anyway.
Move on.
To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction.
Sure. All
right. Man, we just shot straight to Einstein right there.
I feel confident. That's as close to Einstein as we'll ever get on this show. So who are a couple of drivers kind of just two races in? I realize you're going like, they didn't need that to happen.
So, you know, there are some drivers down in the points that... Yes, it's going to be a small speed bump for them. They're going to have to work a little extra hard, but I have no doubt that they're going to make their way back into the upper echelon of the points, and that is your Kyle Larsons and your Denny Hamlins. I think, you know, Kyle Larson right now is 21st in points. Denny Hamlin is 27th in points. They will overcome. But you also have some drivers down here that I think are going to have a lot harder time doing that, even two races in. And I know there's some people out there going, it's only two races. Why are you guys already talking about the points? The points system now being the chase makes this so much more dramatic than it has in years past. I look at like Alex Bowman, for instance. You know, he's somebody who's sitting 32nd in point right now. And we've talked about him having spurts of, greatness, if you will, and then falling off for months at a time. And you're wondering where Alex Bowman went. He cannot have a season like that and expect to work his way into the top 16. You talk about Ty Gibbs. I mean, Ty Gibbs, we have talked at nauseam about how we expect him to be performing way better than he has been in his, initial years in the Cup Series, that he's gotten to that 100 race mark and he should already have a win and all of these things, and now sitting 33rd in points, he's going to have to climb his way out of that. Will he be able to do that? You know, the other person that I want to mention sits right now last in full-time Cup Series drivers. That's Connor Zilich. I think that in itself, the fact that he has currently 14 points, our leader, Tyler Reddick, has 125 points. That is going to be extremely hard for him to work his way out of. Now, he's a rookie. These are rookie things that happen. You know, he came in, he has all of this hype surrounding him. He has all of this confidence. He comes in, has two bad weeks in a row, and now that's starting to erode a little bit. And we'll see, how is he going to handle that? Is he going to be able to bounce back from that? Is he going to be able to shake that off? Only time will tell.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I go down the list and I look at it like this, and this, and those are great. Those are great, great picks there and great comments on those people. I look at it and I think, okay, what team are you with? What team are you with? If you're with a Hendrick, if you're with a Gibbs, if you're with a Penske, you know you have a shot or should have a shot to win 36 races a year. 36 races a year. You should roll into the racetrack feeling like you're with a team and an organization that should win. So you look at an Alex Bowman, and you look at some of these guys, even Kyle Larson, where he's at. You look at some of these guys and you think, okay, they're going to recover at some point in time because they're going to have some good runs up in there. When I look at these three guys that are together right here, Josh Berry and Austin Cindric, they're with teams that should have a shot at winning races week in and week out, but I don't believe they do as drivers. I think there's a limited, a finite number that they have races where they can, and they just gave up two of their races. Mm-hmm. These were two races that these guys should have scored points at. I look at Kyle Busch, and I look at Austin Dillon. Here's a team with RCR that has struggled. How are they going to overcome this? How are they going to overcome it as an organization and as a team? We know what Kyle Busch has done the last couple of years. How's he going to overcome that? So I think there's some bigger names and champions when you talk about Kyle Busch, who were two races into the year, are already in a dig myself out mode. And you don't have a lot of time to dig yourself out. Because I think when we get to May, when we get here, I said it before, you're pretty much either in the top 16 or out of the top 16.
Well, using golf terminology, you only have so many mulligans.
Yes.
And these guys have already put some balls in the pond or deep in the woods, and they're having to use way too many strokes early on. And I've talked about these three drivers before, the three that sit at the big three tables that are at the end of the table. Austin Cindric, two races in, he is in 26th. Alex Bowman is in 32nd. Ty Gibbs is in 33rd. If they don't pick up the easy points in the next four or five races, when you can have these huge point swings, Alexis, you can go from being 30th and get a couple of top 10 finishes, and the next thing you know, you're 20th. If they come back from the West Coast and Las Vegas, and they're still in the high 20s and the low 30s, I don't want to say that it's done, but you can't make up but so many of these once you start in the bottom.
It feels like at that point, May, you know, it mentioned Coca-Cola 600. It feels like at that point, the only way you're going to have really big swings on somebody is if, like, they get a big penalty something.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? Take 60 points or 75 points away like that because of something that happened not on the racetrack. But
we get to that point, you're going to hear some of these drivers begging for winning your in again.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Begging for the win in your in card.
Well, you know.
Well, there is no Willy Wonka golden ticket winning your in anymore.
Not anymore.
Nope, not anymore.
That is done. And for so long, that was the refuge of some of the drivers we just talked about.
Oh, yes.
Well, Alex Bowman will win. Cindric will get a win, and they'll get in.
That's right.
They might get a win, but it may not be even close enough to get them in if they can't turn around these average finishes. I know we're just two races in. I'm knee-jerking a wee bit, but if you're one of those guys, you needed the opposite start of what you got. Kyle Larson, to your point, he can bounce back from this horrible start. Denny Hamlin's going to make up this ground. Christopher Bell is going to be fine, most likely. For these other guys who already had trampled underfoot last year, it's going to be a tough road to hoe. 30 years to the Kyle Petty charity ride, and what a finish in the O'Reilly Auto Parts race down at Echo Park Speedway. All of that coming up.
I'm in my late 60s. My husband died a few years ago. He did all of our taxes. I sold a piece of property last year, and I forgot to claim the proceeds of the sale. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that I owe over $50,000. Now I have a huge tax problem. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I knew who to call.
If you sold property in the last calendar year or didn't claim all of your part-time or even retirement income, you could be in big trouble with the IRS. Call first before they send you a letter. If you've already got a letter, call. We'll help you file years of past tax returns and save you time and money. So call the tax doctor. The call is confidential and free.
Call 800-239-8296. 800-239-8296. 800-239-8296. 800-239-8296.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey.
Here's Paul Doschel of Toyota.
We have a kind of robust program around NASCAR, and we feel that if we're going to be there and compete against Chevrolet and Ford, that we want to be able to tell that story. And so we feel that a 360-degree approach is the best for that. Radio fills a much-needed void in our marketing program. Being able to have our commercial spots and the relationship that we have with PRN, where they talk about our vehicles as Camrys and Supras.
The Toyota GR Supra makes that hard left turn onto pit road.
As pace cars, you know, the Toyota Camry pace car or the GR Supra pace car adds a nice touch to broadcast rather than when it's just the pace cars coming out of turn four. So for us, it's really the coming together of a 360-degree approach to really make our program all-inclusive.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
Fast Talk, there were a trio of races at Echo Park Speedway this weekend, including one for the O'Reilly Auto Parts. We don't spend a lot of time talking about that series on the show, but it had a heck of a finish.
Austin Hill was able to clear Ross Chastain. Chastain will follow in his tire tracks as they head to one.
And we know what Chastain will do for a win. He dives right in Hill's tire tracks. Can't pull up to him. Now he goes high. Hill fades high. Jesse Love to the inside of Sheldon Creed for third, but they can't catch the leaders now.
Chastain's going to have a huge run. He's going to have one move at Austin Hill. Dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He turns Austin Hill. Hill is sideways on the apron. Sweeps back up the racetrack. Sheldon Creed is in front.
Out of turn number four, Sheldon Creed picks his way around Chastain and Hill, and for the first time, he's a race winner of the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. Sheldon Creed wins here at Echo Park Speedway.
Nick Yeoman with the winning call there. By the way, congrats to Jack Johnson, who you heard there in turns three and four, making his NASCAR debut on the Performance Racing Network. Exciting stuff there, and Kyle Petty. For Sheldon Creed, he was very well aware that he had never won one of these races.
Yeah, he's played it off well over the last 3 or 4 years. He has just always played it off and always been that guy. He was like the modern-day Mark Martin, who just ran second so much for it seemed like. But he made one comment in post-race, and he said, I'm never going to have to hear that again. And that said it all. That said it all. And the relief in his voice, and when you see him get out of that car, it's like a burden was lifted off of him in that moment from the middle of turn or the end of the back stretch till he got back to the start finish line. It was a burden because he's lost races that way. He's lost races exactly that way or come in second exactly that way. So that was a big moment for Sheldon. And I think a great moment for the O'Reilly series to have him as a winner.
Absolutely. You know, I think about all of the second place interviews that he's done, and he's always been so, you know, he's just an even keel kind of guy. You don't get a whole lot of ups and downs with him. And he's always been, you know, very professional in all of those second place finishes and all of the questions of, okay, here you are, second place again. When are you going to get it done? You know, as somebody who has covered the sport for a while, I even almost felt relief for him when he crossed the line and we knew he was finally a winner in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series. So congratulations to Sheldon Creed. It was, you know, maybe a little bit cliche, but it was a long time coming.
Yeah, good for Sheldon. Yep. That is over with. That chapter in his life can be closed. And now we can go on and see what he can do in that car. A very, very good run. Needs to send a gift to Ross Chastain for moving. Austin Hill out of the way.
Yeah. But that's a great, and that's that we talk about blocks and stuff. You got to be definitive when you block. That was just like a half block. He just kind of moved over and it was too late. We saw last night with Bubba Wallace, he makes a massive block, but he goes too far. So somewhere in between there, if you're a driver watching this or listening to this, somewhere in there is kind of the way you want to block. Be definitive, but don't go too far.
Find the sweet spot.
All right,
sure.
Kyle, I saw a lot of information coming out of Echo Park Speedway about you, your dad, Richard, Mike Helton from NASCAR, and the 30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty charity ride. So that's a big number.
That's a huge number. It's hard to believe that. I can't believe I'm like 39 and we've been doing this 30 years. But it was, we are doing this year, and listen, I'm going to throw back some stuff here. So the first year we did the Cow Page Charity Ride, we left from Sonoma. We left the racetrack and went down to the 49ers training camp and picked up a few guys and then went to Huntington Beach and Vegas. And we found our way back to Sandwich Construction Company right down the street here. Remember all the cars right on the road? I mean, great time. And that's where we were. So this year, as we started to do it, we were like, okay, let's kind of end in the same place. So we're starting from Sonoma, from the Turn 11 Club mm-hmm. there. We're starting there. We're going to have a breakfast and then lap the racetrack. We're going to end here at 10 Tents. And we're ending at the club here at Charlotte Motor Speedway, which is just down the road from where Sandwich Construction was. Hopefully, we're going to take a trip around this racetrack, Charlotte Motor Speedway. But in between, we're going to Ely, Nevada. We're going to Moab. We're going to Colorado Springs. Then we're going to Wichita. And then we're going down through Tulsa, and we're going to Springfield. To Johnny Morris's place, to Bass Pro Shop there. Then we're going, then my dad's riding with us, so I'm taking the King to Graceland, even though there's already a King at Graceland. I'm taking the King to Graceland. Then we're going over to the Coker Museum, Coker Tire Museum. If you've ever been to the Coker Museum in Chattanooga, we're going there. Asheville, and then by the camp, and then over here. And it's amazing, man. We talked to, and Mike Helton was on that very first ride with us. And we talked about going to California Speedway that first time. It was still a steel plant. We just went out to the site and took a picture, and we've had 10 Hall of Famers that have ridden with us through the years. Robert Yates, Ray Evernham, Tony Stewart, my dad, Harry, Herschel McGriff, had 10 Hall of Famers, 2 Landmark Award winners, and Jim France and Mike Helton have ridden with us, and Deb Williams, the Squire Hall Award winner. So it's like, it is like a traveling show for the NASCAR Hall of Fame to go across the country sometime. But it has been really good. It's all for camp now, as everyone knows. It's all for Victory Junction. And it was good. It was a nice, I appreciate Echo Park Speedway and them allowing us 30 minutes there. I appreciate Mike Helton coming and talking a little bit about camp and about the ride and having my dad there, because he's been a part of every ride. He's not ridden every mile, but he's been a part of every ride. And Mike's going to come back and ride for a little bit this year just to commemorate the 30 years of riding. And it's America 250. So we're a partner with America 250 to celebrate the 250th anniversary of America. It's the 100th anniversary of the loneliest road in America, Highway 50. It runs from Sacramento out there all the way to Ocean City, Maryland. And it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. Did y'all know that?
I did not.
So we're going to ride Route 66 as we come into Springfield to Johnny Morris's place. So there's a lot of stuff going on this year on the charity ride.
So 30 years, take us back. You already did a little bit talking about the first ever charity ride, but take us back to when this was just an idea that you had, and how did it really get started? I mean, I'm
so honestly, and I've said this before, the idea came about 2 o'clock in the morning. We were riding motorcycles to California, and we had stopped and picked up a couple of guys in Oklahoma City. And then we picked up some people in Globe, Arizona, and we were riding in. It was late at night, and it's like, oh my God, this would be so cool. We get people to give us 10 cents a mile. We'll ride. We'll do a bike-a-thon. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I got to think about it. I'm like, man, how are we going to keep that many people herding in the same? So we finally broke it down and said, we'll just ride from California home. And I just threw it out in the garage area. Dick Brooks rode with us that first year. And that's a name from the past right there. Right. And I mean, he was so much fun. Robert Yates rode with us. Cindy Sissoms rode with us. Man, we had so many people that just said they read about it and the Grand National Scene, and they called us up and said they wanted to go on a ride, and we were like, come on down. And we rode, we had no plan that year. We rode a 650-mile day one time that year just because we couldn't find a hotel. Once we got to where we thought we were going to find a hotel, we didn't find anything, so we had to keep riding. But the idea, honestly, was just for us to ride motorcycles across America. That was it. And the charity piece came because we heard of a couple of different hospitals and a couple of different kids that were race fans, and thought, hey, we'll just stop and make a donation to help their families pay their bills. And that's what we did until Adam's accident happened. That's what we did. We would stop at children's hospitals and help pay families' bills.
You know, you talked about riding until you got to a hotel and that hotel wasn't available. I don't think people understand the logistical feat that is involved in this ride, and how has it evolved from not having a hotel where you thought you were going to have to what it is today.
So here's the thing. First year, first fuel stop, the lady cut off the power and locked the door of the the gas station wouldn't give us any gas. She just stood inside and just stared at us. And there's 35 of us standing outside trying to get gas, and we can't get gas. First year, we all carried our own luggage. We all carried everything on the bikes with us. Now we have a hotel team that goes ahead. They check us into the rooms. We have a luggage team that goes ahead and carries everybody's luggage. They put the luggage in the room. So when you get to the hotel, you walk in, they give you a key, you go to your room. Luggage is already in your room. Morgan works 11 months a year organizing. Now, Morgan's my wife, and she works 11 months a year organizing police escorts. The last three or four rides that we've had a police escort, either sheriff, local municipality, or state police, from the time we left the first hotel till the time we pulled into the last hotel. That's hundreds of police escorts across country. It's like a cup race anymore. You know what time they're going to drop the green flag, what time they're going to sing the national anthem, what time all this is going to happen, and what time we're going to roll.
And how many riders do you have?
This year, we're going to have 150. We've upped it a little bit. We most of the time, we try to do 125. But this year is such a special year, and we had so many people that had come back from that very first year. They had come back from our 10th anniversary, had come back from our 20th anniversary. It said, man, I want to be a part of it again and be around everybody. So we upped it a little bit this year, and our entire group will be about 250 to 275 people with our luggage team, our motor marshals. We have two doctors and four nurses that travel with us and six paramedics that travel with us all the time.
Alexis and I volunteer to ride in the luggage truck. That's the extent of our adventuresome, but we will, you know, if the luggage truck people need some company, we can do that.
Absolutely.
We're up for that.
If anything ever happens to me, I always want to ride in the Coca-Cola truck because there's plenty to drink and plenty of refreshment there. That's where I want to go.
Yeah, I changed my seat. I want the Coca-Cola truck.
30th anniversary of the Kyle Parity Charity Ride coming up this year. When we come back, little green flag, black flag action.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years, to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is he going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoffs.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
Just spoke about the 30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty Charity Ride. Before we jump into our next segment, Kyle, if someone wants to help fund the ride and help fund Victory Junction, how can they do that?
Yeah, go to victoryjunction.org for anything about Victory Junction. If you know a child that can go, just go victoryjunction.org and it'll walk you through that. If you want to know anything about the Kyle Petty Charity Ride, you can go to kylepettycharityride.com, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, whatever's out there now, TikTok, Sling Slang, White Gang.
Slang,
I don't know. There's always another social media platform that just pops up.
There's
going to
be a Sling Slang tomorrow. Yeah, so somebody's going to do that.
Saying, it's out there. So go, just put Kyle Petty Charity right in. You'll find it.
Yeah, somebody just trademarked it, by the way. I just got a notification. By the way, before we jump into Green Flag, Black Flag, Victory Junction Gang, for those that don't know, what is it?
Victory Junction is a camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses. We've seen over 150,000 kids and their families that have come through or been touched by camp in the 22 years. This is our 22nd year that we've been open. Adam's accident was in 2000. We opened camp in 2004, and it's just been amazing. And it is, we see different disease, different illnesses, from craniofacial to burn children who have been in burn accidents, to juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, MS. It doesn't make any difference. We see kids at some point in time. We see autism weeks and autism weekends. So it is an incredibly special place. It's part of Paul Newman's Serious Fun group of camps, and there's more in the United States, but check it out.
All right, so check that out. Send some money to while you're at it. Let's do this now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
I am going to read some carefully prepared statements here. Our panel of experts will mull these over and give it either a green flag or, if they disagree, I get one of those, black flag too. If they're all in agreement, do we have something for them? No. Oh, there it is. I'm going to start with 39-year-old Kyle Petty here today. Let's do this. No way does Tyler Reddick get three in a row because SVG.
Ooh. That's a great one. Hey, did I see a picture of you, Doug, with Spock the other day?
Yes, you did. Yeah, okay.
I don't know why that just jumped into my head right there. Went to three in
Squirrel.
A row. It's the live long and prosper thing. I guess that's it. I'm going to say no way. No, you know what? I'm going to give that a black flag because we've seen SVG and that team make mistakes there and not put themselves in a position to win. And so you could say him and Connor Zillage, because I think this is going to be where Connor steps up a little bit.
All right, Doug Rice.
We'll be talking about SVG winning at CODA next week.
We will. Okay. Mark the tape.
I'm going to say black flag because you never know what can happen. And Tyler Reddick is a previous CODA winner. So, we'll see.
There we go.
I'm going black flag.
Doug Rice, Echo Park is NASCAR's most entertaining track.
Green flag. All day long, twice on Sunday, especially when they race there on Sunday.
All right, Alexis?
Yeah, green flag.
Green flag, Kyle.
Green flag. I know they do high school graduations there. They should go ahead and give out tickets to all those kids that graduate.
Yeah.
And say, come on back. Get them, come on back.
Didn't know we'd get a unanimous on that.
Yes. I don't know.
Very good, very good. Okay, how about Alexis Erickson on this? Bubba Wallace is hungry and gets a win within five races.
Yes. I mean, I think every driver in the field is hungry for a win. I'm going to say, based off of what I've seen the first 2 weeks, I'm going to say green flag. I think Bubba could certainly get a win in the first five races.
Kyle, what you think?
Yeah, I'm hungry or not, I think Vegas is his place. You don't think so?
No, I think that.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
I think Vegas is his place, man. The way he's run, yes. I say yes. Green flag.
Mm-hmm. Doug?
Well, let's see. Bubba's sponsored by Chumba Casino. That doesn't really exist because it's online, but I think he hits the jackpot in Vegas. That's a cliche.
That's okay. That's perfect.
All right. Kyle Petty, if you're a driver, you really... I mean, in reality.
Why did you say, Kyle Petty, if you're a driver?
And do you ever know how he slighted me? What he slighted me on the other day? I mean, he slighted me on another one.
No, I know.
Never mind.
Handing off to Kyle.
Okay,
and
I'll just pretend I was not a driver. Okay. Or I was a driver. No, maybe that's it. I'll pretend I was a driver.
Now, here's the question. If you're a driver.
I'm pretending.
You really have no friends on the track.
So this is what I'm going to say. If you're a driver, you should have no friends on the track, okay? This teammate stuff and all this stuff, I'm going to give that a green flag. You should go. Did you ever see the movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze where he's fighting that guy and he pulls his
larynx out
and just throws it out in the lake and that's how he kills him? That's That's the attitude you have to take week in and week out. Go for the throat, man. Go for the throat. That's it. I want you to have that visual. Everybody out there on radio, you got that visual?
I got it.
Yeah. Patrick Swayze.
My stomach's a little upset, but I got it.
Come on, man.
Doug?
I don't know what I'm more disgusted about. The fact that he pulled a guy's larynx out and threw it in the lake.
Yes.
Or that we worked in a Roadhouse reference on the show.
Yes, we did. We did work in a Roadhouse.
Sam Elliott will always be a huge Patrick Swayze fan.
Sam Elliott.
I'm more a Dirty Dancing Patrick Swayze fan than a Roadhouse Patrick Swayze fan.
He went for the throat in Dirty Dancing too. So let's just be honest.
I like Swayze in Red Dawn.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Nobody.
All right, Doug, it's yours.
Wow.
Doug, take it, please.
Let's come back with something else.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa.
This is Josh Berry, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on goprn.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Short time here. Race fans are famous, or maybe it's infamous, for finding fault with everything. I have to look really hard to find fault with the first two race weekends of the 2026 season. Dramatic finishes in all of the races. You didn't know who was going to win till they got back to the checkered flag. And I've always felt like that's the litmus test for a great race. So far, we are batting 1,000. We'll see if that continues when we head to Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas this weekend. Speaking of which, Kyle Petty, prediction time for a road course in Austin.
Austin, Texas. So I'm going to go with... You want me to go with... I'm going to go with SVG.
Yep.
Yeah, how can you not?
It's who you think's going to win, not the trendy section pick.
I'm going to go Chastain.
Ooh!
I like it. It's different. It's wrong, but... until proven different, it's Shane Van Gisbergen. And for our entire crew, thanks a bunch for tuning in to Fast Talk. Take care of yourself and have yourself an awesome week. We'll be back next Monday.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com and by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance
Racing Network.